Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and we finally got our Christmas decorations out this year, but I have to admit to you, I kind of phoned it in this year. We've been kind of really busy. I haven't felt the greatest this year, so I actually bought one of those. We normally have this little white plastic nativity. It's real simple, just a Mary and Joseph and a little plastic Jesus, and they just write, you know, just white, you know, real simple. But then I just bought one of those things that you stick in your yard and shoots all the colors. But I was trying to get the thing right, and no matter what I do, it looks like a disco. You know, so there's these colored lights and they're just moving around and doing their thing. And so the other night, our lovely dog has decided that he thinks it's very Christmassy to get on the counter and to eat whatever happens to have been left on the counter. It just so happened a dear member of the church gave us some wonderful beef jerky. That was a dramatic pause. Get it? Pause. Yeah, so about 3 in the morning, beef jerky came a knocking, and my dear little dog is doing his little head there on the side of my wife's side of the bed, by the way, and goes, hmm. And my wife and I have this game where we both pretend that the other one's asleep and we don't hear it. I was a good husband this time, and so I got up at 3 in the morning, and you know, and I was just wearing a pair of shorts and a really ridiculous t-shirt, and so I'm not thinking much, and so there I am, sitting there on the front porch in shorts and a slipper, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, just trying to wake up, and I look, and I've got all these disco lights. 3:30 in the morning, disco lights. Oh no, it gets better. And there's my dog peeing on the baby Jesus. Have yourself a dysfunctional Christmas. There's sacrilege in there somewhere. So we repented. Beg your pardon? Yeah. I looked a little bit like Cousin Eddie. Yeah, there's kind of how it was. So there we go. And so last week, I really appreciated the service last week. And you know, I apologize. I got a little bit long-winded. And afterwards, my daughter and I were walking to the car. And I said, babe, what'd you think of the service? And Ellie's like, Dad, you know, really good message. I know what you can get the congregation for Christmas this year. I was like, really? She said, yes. I'm like, well, this is going to be a heartfelt thing. I said, what, sweetheart? She goes, a one-point message. On another additional announcement. Additional announcement. If anyone would like to adopt a little blonde-haired girl. $1, $1. Who give me two? Two, two, 52, 53. So, there you go. Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Don't move too quickly and don't come to this side because I'm not seeing very well. I had a little happening there, but YouTube came in. Anyway, that's another story. So we've been going through these songs of Christmas as I finally get to the message today. And our last song actually comes to us from a very obscure person. You know, when we think of the nativity scene, you know, we'd have always Mary and Joseph and dripping wet Jesus. And we have those characters. We have the shepherds, we have the wise men, although in actuality the wise men were much, much later when they arrived at the scene, but that's not a big deal. We won't argue about that this morning. So we have those pieces, and then we have, you know, some other interesting character, you know, the innkeeper, but what we never have is this character, Simeon. And so today, join me in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. Ready? And at the end of 8 days, so this is after Mary had her baby Jesus. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, okay, this is part of the law, at 8 days, the male children would be circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given to him before, name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Let me pause right there. Okay, the reason that they were there is your firstborn son was supposed to be raised in service to the Lord. You go to the temple, you dedicate him, and he was to be at the temple and raised in God's service. Now, there was the law allowed a provision that you could offer a sacrifice and thus bring the child to be with you, perhaps to raise the, be part of the family or to take over the family trade, okay, to be part of the family farm and maybe inherit those types of things rather than be in the service of the Lord. And so here was the offering. It was always usually to be a lamb, but they allowed if you were poor, you could substitute as a sacrifice of two turtle doves or a pair of young pigeons. And so obviously this was before the time of the wise men who brought gold, frankincense and myrrh, and you know that's some pretty wealthy, some pretty weighty things. This is before that. So Mary and Joseph are very poor, verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said by the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they're going to offer this sacrifice. Jesus is going to be there with them. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a man of righteousness and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. All right. So that's kind of the setup. All right. Now verse 27 is where it gets good. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to the people of Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed and for a small, for a sword will pierce through your own soul. I'm sorry, your own soul also. So this is, I have a big chip in my glasses. I apologize here. So that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Okay. A lot here. Real quickly, how do we unpack this, okay? Again, the custom of women. Women, after they gave birth to a child, were deemed unclean according to the law for 40 days. They had to offer this sacrifice. They offered it also on behalf of their son. And so here they are at the temple, and this obscure person shows up. I mean, you folks who have children, especially now, 7 days old, 8 days old, are in your first, you know, 2 weeks of life, if some dude comes up and says, and snatches your kid and lifts him up, how are you going to be? Thank you. Now I get it. It's different today. And boy, it's different than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we'd go to New Jersey and the coast and the parents would go do their thing and they let us walk around the beach. And I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. Things were different. Maybe that's an indictment on my parents as much as how much parenting has changed, but things are a lot different now today. You know, when I was a kid and raised and versus how we raise our kids, I get it. And now how I see even kids raised more and more. But here's this interesting, kind of odd person who the Bible says some interesting things about. And so, because Ellie asked, I'm going to give you a 1-point sermon today. Merry Christmas. Here's point one. Be a Simeon. Okay, be a Simeon. Now, I have several sub-points as to why this first point. And for... okay. And so my first sub point, because it's only a 1-point sermon today, is why should we be a Simeon? Because Simeon was an example of faithfulness over time. In other words, Simeon wasn't so focused on the result as much as he was focused on the task that God had for him. There are a lot of reasons I can think for being like a Simeon. But for today, I really want to focus on this. Think about what was going through his mind. I'm not going to die till I have seen, you know, this, the fulfillment of God's promise. And so he comes to the temple and nothing happens. And he comes to the temple and nothing happens. And he comes to the temple and he comes to the temple over and over and over again. Boy, gang, I would bet us all that by day 30, we are discouraged, we are downcast, we are downtrodden, and we're like, well, it ain't never going to happen. And yet this Simeon found his purpose in the task that God gave to him, not just waiting for the fulfillment. Some of us, we just lose our mind, we lose our peace, we lose our joy, we lose everything because we don't see it happen today. Be a Simeon. Be a Simeon. Be faithful. Understand, it's not over yet. I mean, nudge yourself. It's not over yet. God is still working. God is still doing some things. In Luke 2:36, and there was a prophetess. Now he's not alone here. And I want you to know that you're not alone. There are some other people who are remaining faithful. God had to bring this truth to his prophets. Remember Elijah, he's sitting, oh, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. God had to shake him. You're not the only one. I've got all these other prophets hidden around. You are not the only person who struggles from time to time losing your hope. You're not the only person who sits around and thinks, wow, I have to keep going and I'm holding on to the promise. Luke 2:36 through 38, and there was a prophetess, Anna, and the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Most likely that would have been around the age of 15 to 17, and so she had 7 years there, and then she was a widow till she was 84. And she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer, night and day. And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. There are people around whom you can gain encouragement from. There are people around who are serving. Who do you want to focus on? Focus on the faithful. Okay, be a Simeon, be faithful, do not lose heart. And if you want to not lose heart, it means, honey, you're going to have to fight discouragement. Anybody in this room have to fight discouragement? You know, the truth is, this time of year, more people have to fight discouragement than any other time. The mental health statistics are quite clear. Christmas is just so joyous and a wonderful time. Man, for some of us, it's rough. For some of us, it's difficult. And we, as the congregation of faith, need to be encouragers. Say, I'm an encourager. I am an encourager. Be a Simeon. Okay? It says, maybe today, you know, think about what he's doing. And he found contentment. Everybody say the word contentment. He found contentment in service. I really want you to understand, that's a huge point about Simeon. Simeon contented himself in the task that God had for him. He wasn't just going to content himself when it was finished or when the fulfillment came. Gang, be a Simeon. Enjoy God along the journey. Amen? Okay, so point one is be a Simeon. Point one, be a Simeon. This is a one-point message, but here's the second way we can be a Simeon. Still one point, just the second sub-point. Speak God's truth even when it is not popular. I love what he says. I mean, imagine Mary and Joseph. I gotta tell you, you know, they had this encounter with the angels that sure rocked their world. I mean, seriously, that's pretty crazy stuff. And then they went down and they couldn't find a place, you know, at the inn. And so they ended up in this other place, this not wonderful place. He was born to them in this manger type of area. I get that whole thing. And then the shepherds show up. That's pretty crazy. These shepherds show up and they tell them that angels were singing to them and told them to go find the child. That's pretty wacky now, isn't it? You would think, now gang, wouldn't it? You would think that that would be enough to hold you over the rest of your life now, wouldn't it? But then they had a long journey back. Okay? They're going into the temple. And I know, just like you, that there are times that God has done something in your life. Come on now. God has proved himself, right? And yet, a few months later, you think, did that really happen? And you catch yourself down in the dumps again. You catch yourself saying to, your internal dialogue is, I wonder if that was real. I wonder if that really happened. Maybe that was just a thing. Maybe that was just a coincidence. Maybe that was just, and you begin to talk yourself out of your faith. Come on, somebody, am I being real here today? And yet here we see Simeon willing to speak this truth. And I bet, just me personally, I bet Mary and Joseph needed this assurance. And here's why. Because scripture says they marveled. After seeing an angel show up, and after seeing these shepherd folk, kind of weird people in the hills talking to sheep, coming in and saying, here's what happened. And yet they marveled at a dude in the temple picking up their baby and saying exactly what had already been foretold. Yeah, and here's why. Because we all need an encourager. Be a Simeon. Speak God's truth. And I love what Simeon did. He didn't just say, oh, cute little baby. Oh, cute little baby. That's why babies don't like me. Imagine seeing that. He wasn't just saying, oh, what a perfect, cute little child. He's like, he told them that Jesus was the Messiah. You know what? We don't need people talking about how perfect your life is going to be when you accept Christ. Because, gang, our life here is always going to have trouble, and it's always going to have trials, and it's always going to have tribulations. But here's the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who came to us, is He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. And God wants to be with us so much that He left heaven and He came to earth to have relationship with us. God loves you that much. And yet, no, we want to turn Christmas into something else. Let's talk about presents, and let's talk about elves, and let's talk about all kinds of other stuff. I want us to be like a Simeon, and that Christmas is about Jesus. Speak the truth. And when we speak the truth, look, he says, well, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and the glory for your people Israel. Newsflash. Where is he speaking this? In the, which is full of, not, Gentiles. Rhymes with Schmentiles. He's talking in the temple with full of worshiping Jews that this promise has come and it's going to do something for the Gentiles. A revelation to the Gentiles. You think anyone wants to hear that? You mean God wants to bless my enemy? No, get him, God. Get him. How about this? God wants to bless your enemy. You know, how about that person that won and that beat me out for that thing that I was trying to get? And that person who's always better than me and I'm always second place. God needs to break their ankles. How about God wants to bless them? How about we understand that the race that we're dealing with is a race for eternity for all people. And is going to also give glory to the people Israel. I don't think that they really appreciated. Behold, and then listen to this other truth. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. You think that was real popular? Hey, a lot are going to rise, but a lot are going to fall. And then he says, look, this one's going to pierce your own soul like a sword. Simeon didn't play into this whole, he told the truth. You know what, Mary? This baby whom you love, it's going to hurt your heart. You're going to watch him grow. You're going to watch him be beaten, be tortured, be crucified, and die. And your soul, your heart is going to feel like a soul went through it. But be of good cheer, because this is not it. He is the promised salvation. Not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And so for us, gang, be a Simeon. Tell the whole truth about Jesus. Don't try to sugarcoat. I told you, you know what really hurt me in my growth was people who gave me an incorrect gospel. People who gave me some incorrect gospel. I literally had it. You know, if you just receive Jesus, your life will just be all sugar, plums, and tulips. That's not how my life was, gang. went through death, suffering, loss, and in the midst of all that stuff, of being so stinking depressed that I had to think to breathe. And it was in that low point that I found that for unto me a child was born. And it didn't mean life was going to be perfect. It meant I could have a relationship with a perfect Lord who was never going to leave me. And somehow that truth made the unbearable bearable. Because I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And you are not alone. The road may be rough, but you won't be alone. I have one point of the message today. Be a Simeon. My final thought about how to be a Simeon today, because it's just one point, Ellie. It's be led by the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. So many of us, we plan every inch and iota of everything of our life out, and we only turn to God after everything else has failed. We try to figure out our purpose. We try to figure out our future. We lay up late at night and we plan and we think and we reason and we rationalize and we financial forecast and we get everything worked out and we leave no room for the Holy Spirit. Guess what? God's the one who created you. He understands what's really going on in your heart. He knows how He formed you in your mother's womb. And He has a purpose and He has a divine plan for you. And for us to do that again, we have to quiet other voices. How many of you have got some loud voices in your life? Sometimes we got to turn the station. Man, yeah. We got to turn the station. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. I tell you what, the voice of discouragement was screaming in his ear day after day. Why do you even go to the temple? You've been going to the temple every day for years. What makes today any different? He changed that station. Some of us, we need to take the knob of the station, the frequency that we're listening to, and we need to change it. Because I'm telling you what, living in this world, in this day and age, you are going to be inundated with messages of how God is dead, God's not here, God's not around. That's just all a nice, wonderful, fictitious story. That's wonderful. 2,000 years, the most stable society, the most prosperous society that's ever been created was founded on those principles. Life just happened? Oh, really? Life just happened. Life just happened. The perfect balance, being cognizant, being sentient, it just randomly happened? I have yet to just drop a bunch of parts and have it end up being a full working, functioning computer. And a million times I can get all little pieces of silicon and plastic and drop them and bam, wow, there's a Mac. Wow, that was random. Well, if you did it enough times, yeah, no. Sorry, no. Sorry, gang. Quiet the other voices. And I believe that that's a wonderful thing in Christmas, is it offers us an opportunity to just tell your mind, shut up. Not being, not trying to be, calm down. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be faithful, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to be bold. Because some of those voices are external, and quite honestly, some of us are internal. So my church family, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. And in doing that, you will focus on Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is always going to push you towards Christ. And the Holy Spirit is always going to push you to encourage others. And the Holy Spirit is going to allow you to find fulfillment in your life. In this chaotic season, many people miss Christ. But I want to tell you, boy, He's all around us. When we would take the time to be led by God's Spirit in humility, in prayer, to be in God's Word, we will find that our senses, sensitivity to hearing the leading and the direction of His voice increases. It's not that God is not talking. It's that somehow we have refused to tune in and to listen. So my church family, in this crazy time, I beg you to take some pauses and just commune with your Father in heaven. God has a reason for you to be here. And I believe that it's to be a Simeon. That all of us could be like Simeon. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. A one-point message. Did I do it? One point. Be a Simeon. You should remember that this week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us. And God, thank you for examples, boy, that we read over. What a rich example in Scripture you've given to us in Simeon. We know he had a rough life in many ways. And yet he's an example of faithfulness and humility and service. God, he contented himself. And a lot of us, we just need that same thing. Lord, today I pray for those who are in long seasons of discouragement, that they would feel the encouragement, that they know that you're near, that you are close to them. For some of us who've lost our way, for some of us who've lost our passion, for some of us who've gotten distracted, thank you, God, that you're not there just to condemn us. You're there to let us know how much you love us. I pray for your people today that they would just reach out and seek you. And as your word says, that they'll find you when they seek you with all their heart. Bless your people and bless this time of year. Bless this next few days as we celebrate with friends and family. Let us be like Simeon to keep the message of Christ at the forefront and to speak the truth in love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
the First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.